You're listening to Amud V'Chazar with Daniel Eisenberg, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, taking it from the top. The Amar Rabbi Zeira, we just quoted teaching from Rabbi Zeira, right, about the, was it teaching of Rabbi Zeira? It is Rabbi Zeira, certain things that he saw. And here's another teaching, particularly of Rav Abahu. And here's another thing that he saw. Rav Zera Anach, as you say, the Rav Abahu Shaniach Yado Keneged Panav Shalmata. I saw that Rabbi Zera, I saw Rabbi Abahu placing his hand over his lower face, right? Which is a Lashon Nechia for Makam Erva. So he was covering it. Veloyadana inaga ilonaga, but I don't know if he touched it or not. Now it would be nice if we had a little context over here. So Rashi says, Baruch Hashem, he explains, Shaniach Yodav Kishahoya Rochets Mishum Tznius. He was bathing, but because of Tznius, so he put his hand over his Makom Erva for modesty. However, he wasn't sure if Rabbi Abahu made contact with his Makom Erva or not. So the Gemara is shocked by this question. Pshita l'dolonaga, of course he didn't touch. D'tani, we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, kol ochez ba'ama umashtin. Anybody who holds his ama, his member, while he is urinating, what's that comparable to? Kilu mevi mabul olam. Next week's parsha. Right, here's a nice vort to say at the Shabbos table for next week's parsha, right? Anybody who has his hand on his Makom Erva when he's urinating, it's as if he brought a marble to the world. Okay,
sorry,
right?
My dad, Avi, and I only have daughters.
Okay. So, I don't know for anybody. I don't recommend for anybody necessarily, but. So let's take a look at Rashi over here just to clarify. So Rashi says that Shemeshamim Balide Keri, right? What's going to happen, right? If he's making physical contact with his Amma, so that might come to arouse him and then it'll lead to a seminal emission. This is the Noach part. This was the corruption. In the ruin of the Dor HaMabul, right? The pasuk says, "Dixiv ki heshes kol basar v'gomer." The pasuk says that they destroyed all flesh. Basar is often a euphemism for one's ama over here. So it's this destruction, this corruption of all flesh is an allusion to shichva zera levatala, and that caused the mabul. So just a person has to be very careful about that. So the Gemara asks. So you think there's a havamina that Rav Abahu was actually making contact? So the Gemara responds, so liola mamarabaye asoa kivaleshes. We can apply the logic of a baleshes. So baleshes, actually, it's in modern Hebrew it means like the secret police. Rashi says over here that it's like an army that is like martyrs, that they're like going through and like scavenging and like, you know, looking for things, right? He says over here that it's Rabau Balesha Skylos Gaius Habalair, like this army that like this troop comes to the city. And because they're like searching through and like, you know, taking stuff from the city, karile boleshes. It's called a boleshes. So anyway, what's the halach of a boleshes? So let's see this Mishnah. So this is a Mishnah in a few places. I've seen it in Avodah Zarah, but look over, he says over here, Ksubas as well. Nida. So anyway, it's not, we learned the Mishnah, but about boleshes. Shenichnas le'ir b'shas shalom. Chavios psuchos asuros stumos mataros. So when a baleshes comes to the city, if it's times of peace, and there are barrels that are open, it's referring to barrels of wine, and you have open barrels and sealed barrels. Now a barrel of wine in a city we might have to assume that it's yayin nesech, that we cannot benefit from it because it could be used for libation. So now, if you what about but not always will you necessarily assume that it was used for nesachim. So a qualification is if it's at a shas shalom, it's a peaceful time. If the barrels are open, so you have to assume that they use them for nesachim, and you can't use it or benefit. However, if they are stumos mutaros, then if they're sealed, you can assume it's safe and you can use it. Bishas milchama, but at wartime, elu ve'elu mutaros, both are mutter, even if they are open, right? Lefisha ein panai lenasech. Because there's no time to do nesachim. So if it's a wartime, use even open barrels, you can assume safely that they were not used for nesachim and you can benefit from them. So what do we learn from here? Alma kevin de ba'isi lo menaski. We see that because they are scared, there is some fear, they wouldn't be menasech, and we can rely on that. So Hachanami cave in debais lo asilar huri. Similarly, since he's scared, Rav Abahu was scared, he wouldn't come to have hirhurim. Vahacha mai beisusa. So over here, what was he scared of? Beisusa dinahara. He's scared of the river. He's going bathing in the river. It's not like, you know, it's not as safe as a shower. Going into the river, it could be very dangerous. So he's very nervous, and therefore we wouldn't be concerned that he would that even if he made physical contact with his ama, that it would lead to erhurim. That isn't a concern. So basically, what we get from this from the Balesha example is the halachic consideration of the person's a psychological state, an emotional state, that what fear can do and how that will impact the halachic reality. It's like, are we concerned about something? Well, we consider people acting based on a fear that they may have. So if people aren't in the right frame of mind to do nesachim, we can assume that it's not yai nesach. Similarly over here, if we're concerned about Her Hurim, but maybe he's caught up in his trying to not die in his bath time, that Hirhurim won't be a problem. And therefore, because of that suffix, it's unclear. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Rav Zera was not sure. So Abaye is suggesting that Rav Zera, subscribes to this concept and wasn't sure, therefore, if Rav Abahu also did. Now the Gemara responds, Eini, is this true? V'amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Kol HaManiach Yadav, Keneged Panav Shalmata, Kilu Kofer Bebriso Shal Avram Avinu. Okay, even if, put your Hurim aside, it's still a problem, because he said, if you cover up your bris, it's like you're denying and rejecting the bris of Avram Avinu. Rashi says that it looks like Dinir Shahu Bosh Bedavar. It looks like you're embarrassed. You're embarrassed about your bris mila. You're embarrassed to be a Jew. You're embarrassed to be circumcised. What are you covering yourself up for? So lo kasha. This is not a problem. Ha kinachis ha kisalik. This is when he's going down. This is when he's coming up. When a person is going down into the river and he is not facing anybody except his creator and the water, so then it's not appropriate to cover up your bris mila. What? Because people, I mean, it could be people. I don't know if people will see you. I don't know if this is like if you're in public or not, but it could be that people will see you and it looks like they see your hand covering. Like, why are you covering up? It could be that even just for yourself, it looks like you're covering it up before Hashem. However, when you're coming out, right, and everybody's looking, right, so then of course it doesn't look like you're covering up. You know, like, oh, I'm embarrassed. My bris mila looks like I just want to be have basic tznius. So this story with the Rav Abahu, when he was covering himself up, probably wasn't when he was going down, it was when he was coming up, and he didn't want everyone to see him, and that's why he covered up. And it wasn't, you know, trying to reject the bris of Avraham Avinu. And we don't know if he was touching or not, but even if he was, maybe it's not a problem because he was definitely, it wasn't the time for Hirhurim.
It's really fascinating given that we understand seeing this as pertaining to even if one is alone in the house, not to walk around uncovered.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I honestly don't have such good clarity on this, especially reading like the Mishnah Berurah at the beginning of the Mishnah Berurah, speaking about this inyan and about how much of yourself to reveal when going to the bathroom, and there's like a different standard for bathing and then for a bathroom and for a bathhouse and for we use the term bathroom, but like it's lavatory, right?
A room with a bath.
Yeah. Meaning like when someone is relieving himself, so there's like a higher degree of tznius that's demanded, and because of a, but in a bathhouse where it's where the like I don't know the avoda is to be undressed, but like in essence what you're doing is to be undressed, so it's almost as if there's like no standard of tznius to some degree. I'm not gonna call out any particular communities mikvahs.
I can understand a bathroom. Bodily functions involved, so that clearly is, I guess, requires a greater degree of cleanliness. There's no bodily functions.
Yes, but like you're like the I mean we saw it in Brachos when we were learning
everything out in the open.
Right, when you're in Brachos, like you can reveal a tefach in the front, two tefachim in the back. Is this for a man, for a woman? There's like, and it's brought down the halacha. Like you should try to reveal as little as possible. When it comes to a bathhouse, you can be completely undressed, and some people are very like especially in mikvos, like very very open. And I don't have full clarity on it, but it seems to be that like the Shekhinah is like not present there, like I guess at all. I admittedly don't have full clarity on it, but so there is some sort of sense of tznius, and then there and then there's also other considerations of looking like your kofar bebris and other things to take in mind. But there is. Hezber, if anybody has Hezber,
I wonder how this Goyim may play in, but that's like a whole tangent, because the Goyim, especially the Greeks and Romans, were notorious for their lack of tznius.
So,
to some extent, maybe that we require greater degree of tznius to differentiate from them, which are one of them, whatever.
It's a conversation I would love to have and love to have more understanding of. I wouldn't imagine it being chukas agoyim. I would think that inherently we believe in tznius, and inherently they were against it. Meaning the concept of tznius we always like Hashem's not being seen as well as the neshama not being seen, and the holiest thing that we have is like the holiest object we have is the Torah, which is heavily covered up, and curtains, and the aron, and the luchos. There's always a big emphasis on tznius and covering our heads, and covering our bodies, and covering our erva. I think it's an inherent.
The discussion big thing is very interesting about that in terms of wearing breeches, wearing some kind of undergarment that is not mentioned, but it's understood that it's.
Right. I think there's an inherent Jewish value of tznius, regardless what anybody else says. And of course, that's part of like the counter Jewish culture in almost every way of the Greek society, is the lack in this regard. However, where it gets complicated is where within Torah and Halacha, there are certain categories that we seem to like care much less about tznius. For example, where we're not like Rav Avahu's covering himself up when he's going in, is that inappropriate? And then where did the standard of tznius go when it comes to bathhouses? So it's an interesting discussion. Happy you brought it up, and I would like to look more into it. It's a shame. Okay, let's get back to here. Bisisa de Nahara. Okay, so Lokasha kin ha kinachis ha ki salik ki hadarava, and this is like and we're about to see some examples of these distinctions. Ki hadarava, like what Rava would do, so that shachi he would like bow or be like stooped over, bend over. Rav Zeira zakif, and Rav Zeira would stand up tall and proud in the bathhouse. seemingly for this concern, right? Dechayesh l'derav shelo yira kofer, right? Says Rashi. He's like, I don't want anyone to think I'm a kofer, bris shav ravino. So he stood up, you know, strong and proud. And remember, he's the one who witnessed Rav Abahu, which is interesting. Rav Zeira is the one who witnessed Rav Abahu. But he himself was stand up. But Rava would like bend himself over. Note, Rava wouldn't put his hand over himself. So why not?
I wonder if they would have taken if this idea of Dafka showing Makom Avris, this is nothing to go for, if that only Dafka applies in the time of the Gemara.
Okay, which more goes back to what you were saying before. Meaning that might very well be. Meaning, like, who's concerned about that? But if Jews were sharing bathhouses with the Greeks, then later with the Romans, and we know that they had surgeries to cover up their bris mila, to undo it, right? Because they were embarrassed, especially in a naked society, like the Greek society, where you know that was acceptable. So people were embarrassed about it. It's actually the Midrash even says this. Midrash in the beginning of Shmos Rabbah speaks about this. It says that that when it's like Ashadal Yadasi Yosef, they didn't know Yosef. And the Midrash says explicit lashon of the Jews of Mitzrayim is that Nia Kemitzrim, we're going to be like the Mitzrim, and they tried to undo the Bris Mila, and that was like the nail in the coffin of Klal Yisrael status, and they went into Shibud at that point. But we see that this was a real thing, and it could be the Kofar Babriso is that we're sharing bathhouses with non-Jews and we're not ashamed of it. And even though generally we have a very high value of tsnius, but there's sometimes there's a higher level, which is that I'm not ashamed to be a Jew and I am not ashamed to show that I didn't reverse my circumcision. Okay. And so Rova would bend over. And Rosera would stand up straight. Rabbanon de Beis Ravashi, the Rabbanon of the Beis Medrash of Ravashi, kika nechasi zakfei. When they would be going down, they would stand up straight. Kika salki, when they would come up, shachi, they would bend over. So we see a distinction also in going down and coming up, and they like did both what Rava did and what Rosera did, just at different times. To be mindful of both tsnius, but not being a kofar over the bris shel Avraham Avinu. Rav Zeira hava kamishtam mitnei Rav Yehuda. Rav Zeira would hold back from seeing Rav Yehuda, from being in close proximity to Rav Yehuda. Why? Deboy lemesak la'ara de Yisrael, because he wanted to make aliyah. De Amar Rav Yehuda, but Rav Yehuda said kol ha'olam mibavel eretz Yisrael over ba'asei. Anybody who makes aliyah, leaves Bavel, makes aliyah, is over an aseh. Shneamar, the pasuk says, Bavela yuvo v'shama yiyu. You're going to stay. You're going to come to Bavel and you're going to stay there. These are the words of Yirmiyahu. So it sounds like we're supposed to, that if you're in Bavel, you're supposed to stay there. You're not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. Now, because that was his shita, he was very anti-tzioni. He didn't want whatever that means, tongue in cheek. So he was, but he didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So he said, "I don't want to show up." Now maybe Avi, you remember this from Brachos. I thought it was the same. It sounded very familiar. There's a Gemara in Brachos. It's a Chavda Adam and Bez. I looked it up just before, where it's a similar story, but it wasn't Rav Zera. It was Rav Abba. Rav Abba also didn't want to go to Rav Yehuda because Rav Yehuda didn't like told him not to make aliyah. So we see that this some sort of theme. I know Rav Yehuda was a Rosh Hashiva of Pumbedisa. I don't want to put in an agenda and say like, and he just didn't want any people leaving his yeshiva, but he felt like probably that we have Torah here and this is where we're supposed to be. He didn't want people leaving. So it's a similar story, but a different halacha we're going to learn from here. So anyway, he says, Omar, Azil, I'm going to go, v'eshma mine milsa, I'm going to go hear something from him. I don't want to like actually, you know, speak to him, but I want to see if I could overhear a Torah conversation. V'isi v'isik, and then I'm going to come, and then I'm going to go up to Eretz Yisrael. We also know Rav Zeira had a great value in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Zeira is the one who fasted, I think it was like 40 days or something like that, straight, so that he would forget all his Torah of Bavel, to make himself completely fresh, to learn all the new Torah of Eretz Yisrael. We see this great love for Eretz Yisrael, Rav Zeira. So it's interesting when you see like little like biographical pieces of the Tanayim and Amorayim coming together, like builds a whole picture of who they are, or at least the closest we can get, but a little closer. So anyway, what happened? He went Ashkeche. He founded the Dekah Beibani. He was founded by the bathhouse. V'kamar leShamei, and he was saying to his attendant, Hevili Neser, Hevili Masrik. Bring me Neser, some sort of like cleaning agent, and bring me Masrik. Bring me my comb. Pischu Pumaychu, the Piku Havla. Open up your mouth and let the air go out. It's meaning there's a steam in the bathhouse, and open up your own mouth and let air come out. V'ishtu Mamaya Debe Bani, and drink the bathhouse water. Don't try this at home, folks. Amar, so Rav Zeira said, Ilmale Basi, had I only come, Ela Lishmoa Davarze, Dai. It would have been enough for me just to come and hear these words. This is very similar to we're going to see what he learned from it in a moment. But it's interesting because Rav Abba, in Brachos also has a similar situation where he also says, I'm going to go outside the Beis Medrash. I'm going to go hear from the window and listen to what's happening. And then somebody taught a teaching in front of Rav Yehuda. It was about if someone passes gas during davening and where they have, they take a few steps away and there's a little tefillah you say to apologize for your being human. And I'm like, Hashem, you know, you created me frail and unable to hold in my flatulence and I'm sorry and forgive me. And then you return to your davening. And then Rav Abba says, had I only come to hear this one teaching, Dai, it would have been enough for me. So it's very similar situations. One thing I would notice, the way Rashi explains why they wouldn't go is different in both places. He says over here that, what was the concern? Rav Zeira Amar Lach, he says, yeah, Mishtamit, Haya Yari Lerosolo, he didn't want to see him, Mishum Dahava Bai Rabbi Zeira Lemesak the Ari Dishal, because he wanted to make Aliyah. Rav Yehuda Lo Svirale, Vayar Pen Yigzor Elav Melelech, and he was concerned, maybe he's going to make a Gzeira on me that I should go, that I shouldn't go. Meaning, I want to go, I don't want to bump into him and have him tell me you can't go, because then I'm in trouble. But with Rav Abba, the way Rashi writes it, it looks like he already asked Rav Abba from doing it. I mean, it says that he wanted to go, but asr lo, he asr it for him, and therefore he didn't want to enter the Beis Medrash. So he only wanted to hear from the window. So it's slightly different. I wonder if Rav Zeira, when Rav Abba were chavrusas or something like that, and he said, oh, so did you tell Rav Yehuda about wanting to make Aliyah? He says, yeah, he asked me, and now Rav Zeira learned from that. I don't want to get into that conversation with him. Okay, so you could look into it. It's, again, it's Chav Dalet Amud Beis view if you get a chance. Okay, let's move. So what did he learn from this? Bishloma heviu neser heviu masrik. So that makes sense. I see what he gained from when he said, "Bring me the neser, bring me the comb." Kamash milan devarim shel chol mutar laomrim b'lashon hakodesh. Right. That, notice he was speaking in Hebrew. The rest of the conversation, the rest of the things that Rav Yehuda said was in Aramaic, but he spoke this in lashon hakodesh, which teaches us that it's mutter to say them in lashon hakodesh. Rashi clarifies. You're talking about secular matters in Lashon HaKodesh, in a bathhouse, is mutter. You're allowed to use Lashon HaKodesh for that type of thing, even if maybe you can't talk Torah, but you can use the holy language to talk about secular matters in general, and even in a bathhouse. Paschu Pumaychu, the Piku Havla, Nami. That's also a valuable teaching. Open up your mouth in the bathhouse and let your hot air come out of yourself. Why? Kiddush Shmuel, like Shmuel says, Da'amar Shmuel, Havla Mapik Havla. That, I guess, it's good for, right? Or Rashi says, Havla, Demercha, Tanichnas, Derecha Peb, Mapik Havla, Dezeya. That the hevel, the hot air of the steam of the bathhouse, when it enters your mouth, it brings out sweat from you, meaning if you open up, take a good deep breath in a bathhouse, the steam is good for you. It brings out sweat and toxins from your body. It's a healthy thing to do. Shmuel taught us that, and Rav Yehuda repeats this teaching. However, the final teaching, Ella ishtu maya debebani, but to drink the water of the bathhouse, my mal yuso. How does that help? In fact, I would say, you know, I don't think I've ever gone to a mikvah for a drink, you know? So what does he mean, the bathhouse, right? You don't want to drink water in the pool, in the public pool. It's just not something you want to do. But he says in the bathhouse, it's something good to do. Why? Did Tanya, ochal velo shosa achilaso dam. Somebody eats and he doesn't drink. His eating is like blood, meaning it's somewhat sort of unhealthy, damaging eating. You should drink with your food. V'zehu tchilas cholei me'ayim, and this is the beginning of intestinal disease. If you want an upset stomach, only eat and don't drink. Right? They say after a fast, you should try to drink first and then eat. It could be that's for choking. I'm not sure. It could be for digestion as well. I'm not sure. Achav lo halach dalad amos. If somebody ate and he didn't walk four amos, achilaso merkeves. His food rots. Rashi just explains that like it's like a digestion thing. If you eat and then don't walk it off, it's not good for digestion. This also leads to bad breath. Hanitzrich l'nakavav. Somebody needs to go to the bathroom. V'achal, and he eats. While they need to go to the bathroom, they eat. Domi l'tanur shesiku al gabe afro. It's similar to an oven that was ignited with its own ash, I guess, that's already been used. So it's not the most effective thing. We're going to see some more examples of this. V'zehu tchilas reach zuhama, and this leads to also filthy smells. Rochatz bechamin, somebody who washes with hot water, v'lo shasa mehen, and he doesn't drink them. Dome l'tanur shesiku mibachutz v'lo yisiku mibifnim. It's like lighting a tanur only from the outside, not from the inside. Meaning that you should wash, if you're going to wash yourself with hot water inside and out. So it's good. So not that you just have to drink the water that you're bathing in, but you should be drinking warm. If you're going to bother using warm water on your outside for health benefits, you should also wash out the inside with warm water as well. I did not look these up. This medical advice. Some of it makes sense to me, but I don't know much about this. Rochatz bechamin, somebody who washes himself in hot water, v'lo nishtatif b'tzonein, and he doesn't rinse himself off in cold water afterwards. Dome labarzel shechnisuhu la'or v'lo chnisu l'tzonein. It's like somebody who takes iron, puts it into the fire, and then he doesn't put it into cold right after, which keeps its shape. This one I have heard. Right after you clean yourself or you go to a sauna or a steam room or something like that, it opens up the pores and things come out. And then you go, if you go quickly into cold water, so your pores close up, which is good after you've taken all the bad things out for your pores to close up. So to go into cold water after hot water, that I have heard before. And he's saying it over here, and he gives a mushal of iron that when you're, like, I guess, forming iron, shaving iron, purifying iron, you put it in the heat, and then you put it into the cold immediately after, and then it cools off, and it keeps its shape. Rochatz velo sach, somebody who washed himself, but he didn't, like, anoint himself, like, I guess he didn't use soap. What?
It strengthens the iron when you do that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Velo sach, and he doesn't anoint himself, I guess use soap or something like that. Dome lamayim al gabi chavis. It's like putting water on top, on the outside of a barrel. Al shulav utstadav, on the bottom of it, says Rashi, and on the sides of it, shenam nichnasim asochu, doesn't enter into it. So if you, right, you just pour water on yourself, but without like using soap or some oil or anything like that, it's like pouring water on the outside of a barrel. Okay, like it doesn't really get much done. Okay.
This isn't like sauna, like olive oil. They mean some kind of bathing solution.
That's what it seems like. That's how I understood it.
That makes more sense because it's sauna to pour like olive oil on yourself.
Yeah. It's like it's something that you do sicha with, that you do that you anoint yourself with. Okay, Ms. Nissen, we learn in the Mishnah muliar hagaruf. So if you have a muliar that is garuf, that is the ashes are shoveled. So what is a muliar? So it's called a miliarium. I'm going to share my screen with you. In a moment. Nope, I'm not able to share it. I got this for no reason. Okay. Well, so what I have a picture of, it's an artifact from ancient Rome, a miliarium, miliaria. And it looks like a, maybe I'll post it in the group after. Oh, I could do it now. No, I'll do it after. It's fine. It looks like an urn of hot water. And on the outside of it, there are these things for coals that you can put around it. So it's something that contains hot water. And then there are coals that are around it that heat it up. So it's something like an urn. So you have this muliar, hagaruf. So what are you allowed to do with it? It's on Shabbos. So shosin hemet. So if you shoveled it, meaning you removed the coals from it, shosin hemet b'Shabbos, you're allowed to drink these heated waters on Shabbos. If there's no coals over here, right? If there are coals, then we're going to have a problem. You might come to stoke them or something like that, but otherwise you can do that on Shabbos. Antichi, however, in Antichi that's going to be more problematic. Rashi says Antichi, be patient. Mefarsh beGemara. So in Antichi that's going to be problematic. Afal pisha grufa ain shosin himana. You can't drink it from it even if it's garuf. So hechi dami muliar hagaruf. So what's this muliar hagaruf? What does it look like? So tana mayim mi bifnim v'gachal mi bachutz. So it has water on the inside and this on the outside, the coals on the outside. Antichi Rab amar bekire. Rabba says it's a bekire. So it's something like a stove. Halal yesh bekire, says Rashi, etzach aleha. So it's like a part of a stove that has a place for water, and you can heat up the water like with this stove extension. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Beidude. Rav Nachman says that it is a Beidude, which Rashi says it's a Yora Gedola. It's like this big like cauldron. Osim Lashtei Shulim. It has like two bottoms. V'nosin Gecholim Ben Shnehem V'amayim Halyonim. So it's like there's two portions, and then there's like the water on top and the coals right under it. So man da amar beidude kol shekein beikiri, right? The one who says that the beidude is the antichi and that's usher. So kol shekein beikiri, then for sure the beikiri, which is a different type of water heating tool, would be a problem. Umanda amar bekire, but to the one who says that the antichi is a bekire, and that's what's aser, al beidude lo, but the beidude would be okay to use on Shabbos. Right, the clarification over here. Right, with the kol shekein, Rashi says the bekiri aser can purchase mishemitocha or the bekiri is a problem because mishemitocha or tajerbo, because the fire is always there, so it becomes extra hot. V'dofno av martiach, and it has thick walls, so it makes it very very hot, and this, so it's so hot. This is on the other end of the spectrum. So we're not quite sure what the antichi is. There are two different opinions of what the antichi is. We know that there's the muliar, and then there is the bekiri, and there is the beidude. So we know these three. We're not sure which of the latter two is the antichi, and whichever one is not, it's going to be the other halacha applying, whether it's mutter or aser. And just like what one, there's a longer discussion to be had over here of how to really understand what the machlokas is here. There's a Tosas heavily disagrees with Rashi, with Rashi's shot over here. We're not going to have time to do it, but let's just wrap up this Gemara until the next Mishnah. Tanya Kavas say to Rav Nachman, there's a brisa that is in accordance with the Shita of Rav Nachman. Antichi, afal pisha grufa v'ketuma, so this is what the brisa says, if you have an antichi, even though it's grufa and ketuma, ein shosan himena, v'bnei nechushta michamamasa. You're not allowed to drink from it because the nechusha heats it up. Rashi says, he gives two pshatim in nechushas, nechusha, like it's copper, but then he says the second pshat, right under the word shenechushta, in Rashi, you see, v'loshon shel, sorry, a few words earlier, he says, v'ani omer nechushta loshon shulayim, or shulim. I think that nechusha is loshon of bottom, that the bottom of it keeps it very hot, and that makes it, and so that would seem to be in accordance with the Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that we're talking about that the antichi is a beidudi. The way this brisa describes it, it looks like antichi is the beidudi, and so that would support his opinion. Okay. Yeshakoach.